I'm broken, I am encouraged. Been cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest word assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
In the name of Jesus. Is someone here prepared to hear from the Lord this morning? I'd like you to shout a living hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A living hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A living hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A living hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please come to be seated. Hallelujah. In the likadabo sukatambro likadabo shakatabala gadabali gadabo sukataya. Greater works, greater works, greater works. We've heard a lot about greater works. We've heard a lot about greater works since the beginning of this year. We've heard a lot about how greater works, for greater works, you require greater obedience. For greater works, you require greater fervency. But I'm here to tell you that for greater works, there is one more thing that you will need to face, and those are great giants. But don't be scared. Because the Lord is raising a generation of men and women who are not biased by age, who are not biased by culture, who are not biased by ethnicity. They are not biased by qualification. The Lord is raising men and women and is putting into their hands the stone that will bring down their giants. If you are here and you know that you have in your hands the stone that will bring down your giants, I'd like you to shout glory.
Glory!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. Thank you, Senior Pastor, for the opportunity. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. For a great door, an effectual, is opened unto me. So the futures of the doors open unto you. Number one, it's a great door, settled. Number two, is effectual. And what is effectual? Effectual is something that will bring results, know how. It's destined to bring result. There's no shaking about it. And there are many adversaries. And so we are here this morning to deal with our giants. Am I here talking to giant killers? Am I here talking to giant killers? Hallelujah. So I titled this message, Giant Killers. Hallelujah. 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 And I just like to draw your attention to some of the things that you must note, some of the things that you must keep in mind as you go forward into the year, into greater works, and as you go with the mind of a giant killer, one who will not be afraid to face the giants, but will stand firmly and declare the word of the Lord against your giants. Number one, you must believe in your prophecy. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29. Social media. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a curse? Please go further. And he turned from him towards another and spake after the same manner. Now let me. So before verse 29, we saw the experience of David where Goliath had faced the soldiers of Israel. And David had gone to the field to serve his brother's food. And on getting to the field, you know, he began to hear curses against the God, his own God. He began to hear curses against the God that he so dearly loves. You know, he began to hear curses against, and he began to, in his mind, he began to see the defilement of the soldiers of Israel. And verse 29, it said, after he had made inquiries from people around there, the first thing David had said was, is there not a curse? If you go to verse 28, 17:28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou here again? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart, and thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And in the next verse, David responded, is there not a curse? Am I not made for a curse? Is there no word already resting on my head? I'm come to tell you this morning that if you do not believe in your prophecy, nobody will help you in believing in it. When Samuel came to anoint David, his brothers were there. They heard the pronouncement. They heard the announcement. They heard that David was being anointed as king. Or who will Samuel? In fact, as powerful as Samuel was, if Samuel told you anything, you could just as well believe and began to live in it. But his brothers, even though they were there, they looked upon him when he came to the battle and they were asking him, you are still supposed to be with sheep. You are still supposed to be with the animals. But David said, there is a cause. There is a reason why I'm here. There is a purpose upon my life. There is a prophecy hanging upon my head. There is a prophecy hanging upon my head. Every other person at the battlefield told him, you cannot do this. Can we read further? Can we read further, please? Verse 30. So verse 31, we've read this. And when the words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him, 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Hallelujah. 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 You may not look like your prophecy. You may not begin to look like it. God has called you to be a financier of his kingdom. You may not have more than a naira in your account. You may not have up to $1,000 in your account. But I tell you, if you do not believe in your prophecy, then you will let go. You have to hold on to your prophecy. You have to hold on to that word that has rested upon your head. You have to hold on to that mandate that the Lord has placed in your hands. You don't have to look like it. You know, even Saul, go on next verse. And Saul said unto David, you are not able to go against this Philistine, to fight with him. Enough of looking for people's opinion, looking for people's approval, enough of seeking other people's approval. They will always tell you the reality. And the reality was that David was no match with Goliath. They will tell you economic sense. They will tell you logical reasoning. They will tell you what you can see with the physical eyes. Even if they were at the point of your ordination, they will still tell you that they feel you are not matured enough to take it up. And so even Saul looked at David and was like, a youth like you? Are you sure? Now let me tell you one striking thing about David. David had this reputation of always not looking like his prophecy. So look at the instance where he was dancing and his wife looked at him and said, this guy again. Why can't you just be a king for once? Now, can I also tell you that I believe strongly that that was not the first time the wife would have corrected him over his appearance outside or something. She would have been telling him, David, you are a king. Don't eat like this. David, you are a king. Don't dress up like this. You know, I can imagine like David from the way he was brought up. He would want to prostrate or bow when people come to his palace, want to show them honor. And his wife, I'm telling him, you are a king. You don't even look anything like a king. She got tired. It's easy to say, oh, that woman was rude to David. Oh, she mocked the man of God. But really, she got tired of correcting him. David had never looked like his prophecy. If you keep judging yourself based on what you can see from the outside, based on what you think is logical, based on what you think is rational, then you will keep delaying yourself in the matters of destiny. Believe in your prophecy. You don't need any other person to believe in you. Believe in your prophecy. Hold on to that prophecy. And begin always speak it upon your life. Even when they come around you and they discourage you, you keep saying it. You keep saying it. The Lord has said this, and this is the will of the Lord, and it will stand. Most of the time, the opinions people give you are innocent opinions. But don't let that put you down. To face your giant, you must believe in that word that is upon your life already. Hallelujah. 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 Number two, you must be addicted to kingdom advancement. You must be addicted to kingdom advancement. Verse 36. Verse 26. Hallelujah. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what will be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 36, when he appeared again. Verse 36, hallelujah. Your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, seeing he had defiled the armies of the living God. One of the things that you require to be a giant killer is to be a kingdom addict. You must be one who does not want to see the shame, who doesn't want to see reproach around the name of the Lord. The motivation David, now let me tell you, King Saul had already made promises to all the soldiers. Anyone who brings down Goliath, you get this, you get that, you get my beautiful daughter. But it was not even enough motivation for the men. David did not even need, for him, he kept saying, the reason I'm going for this is because this guy is defiling the name of the Lord. I cannot stand any act of unrighteousness. I cannot stand this. You must be someone who cannot stand this honor against the name of the Lord. Somebody is trying to tell you, let's cut corners. Let's just manage it this way. And you know that you have a stance. You know that you stand in a position of righteousness with the Lord. You must be someone who is addicted to kingdom service. It's not about you. It's not about you. Facing your giants, having greater works, goes beyond you. It is not about you. Hallelujah. You must be focused on whatever gladdens the heart of the Lord. Soul winning. Giving to people. Making people laugh. Making people smile. Blessing lives. Hallelujah. I remember when, before church started, you know, before we got married, I used to beg my fiance then. I said, please, promise me you will not be a pastor. And he swore heaven and earth. And then, a week into the honeymoon, the first revelation God gave me was something that looked like it. And I said, God, this is not even the right time. But, well, I still didn't believe it. So I remember I used to tell him that in our former church, I'll tell him, take this counseling thing easy. If you overdo, God will not say that you are effective. Because the reward for good work is more work. Sometimes the pastor of our church would have left. He will bid us farewell and live with his family. And we'll still be... And I was told him that, please, don't overdo this thing. I know you love God, but let's be careful. Let God be able to see other people who are willing to be pastors. We don't want it, so let's just be careful. But it wasn't about him. And so church started, and I was still trying to cope. And I still coped. And then full-time ministry came, and I was like, no, no. Until the Lord broke my heart. It's not about you. If you continue to look at greater works as amassing wealth, living well, living a good life, eating good food, it's just about you. I just want greater works because I want money. I want to be able to buy a Pajero Jeep, Range Rover. Everything around your head is about just earthly inheritance. Then you don't get what exactly greater works is. It is not about you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Can I shock you? Even the soldiers at that speech that day did not even realize they were being defiled. For them, it wasn't an issue. They just needed somebody to bring down Goliath. They didn't even realize that what Goliath was doing was defiling the name of the Lord. But here was a young guy who had grown himself, who had groomed himself to know the God of Israel, who had groomed himself even in his lonely moments, and he would not stand any iota of dishonor to the name of the Lord. Sometimes, when you chase kingdom advancement, honestly, what you are chasing is your greater works. When you go after kingdom advancement, you think you are just doing it. You think you're just going to the orphanage? You think you're just giving to people? I tell you, what you're already bringing your way is advancement in your destiny. Hallelujah. You must be addicted to kingdom works. Evangelism, preaching to people, getting people saved, bringing men into fellowship with God. Even in your very little attitude, showing attitude in at your place of work. Last week I was at work and someone came, okay, so on Fridays we normally play music in the office. And then someone came around and said, you guys are not even playing. So I said, I don't know why they are boring today. They are not even playing good music. Then my colleague, a Muslim, now told the person, ask her, you know, if we play some music, she won't dance. There are some songs she doesn't dance to. So ask her, even now that she's saying we are boring, even if we play the music, it's not like it will please her in any way. And I looked at him and I was like, My boss called me and said, Wumi, I'm working on getting your skirts shorter. And I looked back and said, are my skirts usually that long? You don't know how these little things you do help represent the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying short skirts. I'm not saying only long stairs represent the kingdom of God. But I'm only saying that to an extent, people see your level of integrity at work. People see that you come in at 8:30 and you write 8:30. People see that you are truthful. People see that they can talk to you. People see that you are honest. People see that you do not tell lies. Very little things. May you not be a believer that will be said, oh, this one, we don't even know if he goes to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number three, don't despise your scars. Your scars are an expression of your testimonies. Don't despise your scars. Don't despise your scars. I can tell you that the greatest way to derive energy from your scars is to celebrate your scars. Now, what do you do to your scars? Number one, you sieve out every negativity and bitterness from it. Sieve out every negativity and every bitterness from your scars. And then place your scars as a badge. David told Saul, he said, there was a time I was in the wilderness and a lion came against the sheep and I went for it and I tore it apart. Oh, you think it was that easy to tear apart a lion? And a bear came and I tore it apart. When nobody believed in his prophecy, when nobody thought he didn't look like it, the only thing David had left to show that he was a sent man was his badge, and that was his scar. Remember the story of Jacob? He had an encounter with the Lord. And let me just say this. Your scars come from the place of deep encounters with God. Deep encounters with God. Jacob had an encounter with the Lord and the Lord broke his hip. But he got a blessing in return. That's Genesis chapter 32. And in the next chapter, 33, verse 1, the first person that Jacob saw was who? Esau. The great giant he had been running away from. And the only thing that was still fresh in Jacob's memory was the scar of the broken hip that he had. But in the scar of that broken hip, he had an assurance of a blessing that made him know that I will not end it in this battle. My life will not go down the drain. It made him know that in this battle, I will come out alive. Because I just had an encounter with the Lord. I gave him my hip, but he gave me his blessing. And with these blessings, I know that even though I encounter Esau in the next verse of my life, I will scale through this. I will overcome this. I will walk out of this in victory. I will walk out in triumph because he had a scar that was on his badge. So when everybody told David, you can't do it. You can't bring down Goliath. Did you see his size? Did you see what he looks like? Do you know how many people he has killed? Nobody believed that David could do it. Nobody encouraged him to do it. Nobody gave him what he needed to do it. He had to go into his depths to bring out his scars. And he showed his scars to the world to say, I have my badge that qualifies me for this great battle. Hey, I know sometimes our scars may be very bitter. Oh, I had an abortion. Oh, I mistakenly killed him. Oh, I had a broken heart. Oh, I lost my business. Oh, I lost my life. I lost everything. I lost everything. But look out for the encounter you had with the Lord in that scar. And put it upon yourself as your badge. Take out every bitterness relating to that scar. Hold on to the encounter you had with the Lord through it. Most of the time when you are alone, when you stand alone, the only motivation you have to move forward is remembering the faithfulness of God when you had an issue. Remembering your testimonies when there was an issue. Remembering that the lion did not devour you. Remembering that there was a time I faced a beast and did not devour me. This one too will not devour me. The variables may change. For David, it could be lion. It could be the bear. For Joseph, it could be Potiphar's wife. Do you know what scar Joseph had on him by his experience with Potiphar's wife? A man who had served all his life. And then just one misunderstanding. He wasn't even given the opportunity to explain himself and was thrown into prison. But Joseph got into that prison. And guess what? He wasn't brought down by bitterness. He wasn't brought down by depression. He began to move on and he told himself, this is my badge. This is my badge that qualifies me to even head this prison. Every scar you have from an encounter with the Lord is a preparation for greater works. Hold on to it as a badge. Can somebody spare some seconds to just pray in the spirit? And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be sensitive to seasons in your life. Number four. Be sensitive to the seasons in your life. Verse 40, social media. Verse 40. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Please go to verse 39. And Saul harmed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he harmed him with a coat of mail. Be sensitive of the seasons upon your life. Now, Saul was going to dress David up the way a king would go to war. He dressed him up the way a qualified soldier would go to war. But what Saul gave unto David was his own armor, right? The armor of the king. If Saul knew that the armor of the king could kill Goliath, why didn't he go? Why didn't he try it? But David said, now let's go to verse 39. And David gathered his sword upon his armor, and he had said to go. But he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with this, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Now verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones and put them in a shepherd's bag. So David approached that field of war, that battlefield, as a shepherd and not as a king. Remember, there was a word upon David's life. He had been ordained and anointed as a king. But David understood that the battle is for the shepherd. The victory is for the king. I will approach this battle as a shepherd that the Lord has called me upon. Because it is not a physical battle. This is not about how you dress the battle. This is not about taking up, you know, if Samuel comes and just places his hand upon you and anoints you, it's a done deal. In fact, from that moment, you can begin to tell your father, I cook no more in this house. I go after sheep no more. I am now the king. When Samuel got into Bethlehem to anoint Jacob, everybody was scared. That's for you to know the weight of Samuel's words. So David could as well have approached that battlefield as the king, anointed king, has arrived. But he understood the seasons upon his life. He was sensitive to the seasons upon his life. He understood that the battle he was facing was not a physical battle. He understood that the battle he was facing would not be overcome, or he would not overcome by just putting on some physical armor that showed that he had strength. He understood that the battle he was facing was for him to approach it the same way he approached the other beast as a shepherd. I know the Lord has called you into ministry. The Lord has told you you will build a multi-millionaire church. But right now you are in facility team. And Pastor Kenny cannot tell you, please dust the chair in your mind. Is it because I'm still here for training? Me, that God has already told me that my church, they will combine all the Living Faith Church in Lagos together. It will still be very... This guy, I don't blame you. Serve at that point, that duty post you are at this moment. Serve effectively there. Serve effectively there. You must be sensitive to the seasons. When the seasons change, you will know. When the victory comes for you as a king, you will know. When you need to approach any battlefield as a shepherd, you will know. You must be sensitive to that season upon your life. So God has told you are going to be a financier to kingdoms. And then they say, we need funds in church for something, something, something. Please, we need people to come together and give. And you go to meet the pastor and say, you know, God has anointed me to finance kingdom works. And I'll give 5 million. You know you don't have 10 naira to give now. If it is prayers you have to support the project, why don't you just do that on your knees? And so you raise the expectation of your pastor. Your pastor is already recording 5 million in proxy. thinking that project work is going on, church is moving to permanent sites. You have only come to deceive your pastor. Enjoy the season you are in, but be sensitive to that season. When people come around you and tell you, because some people will overbelieve in your prophecy, and they will tell you, I was there when the Lord anointed you as King David. You can go on. You can go to this battle. Now go and dress as a qualified soldier and face him. You have to be sensitive enough to know that the tides have not changed. Hallelujah. 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 Number 5. I'm just rushing. You must understand your secret weapons. You must understand your secret weapons. Verse 45. Sorry, let's go back to verse 40. Let's just read from verse 40. I'm tempted to rush, but at the same time, let's read from verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Next verse. Now, don't be deceived. The stone with which David brought down Goliath was not his secret weapon. In fact, it was not that stone that killed Goliath. And the Philistine came on and drew unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. So the Goliath even had a PA that was also with him on the battlefield. Is there any record of what happened to the PA after Goliath fell? We need to go and dip the... Pastor Kenny, you can help us with that research. What happened to that PA? Verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and he saw the thing, the shikini thing, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, Likasabot Shakataya, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, Malikadabot Sukataya, the gods of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. You have a secret weapon. Don't despise it. Some of you know that when you are faced with challenges, you only need to take 3 days to fast and seek the face of the Lord. I have a father who believes that there's no challenge that praises cannot surmount. So you come with the worst of challenges. My father just tells you, so what have you done? Daddy, I've prayed. I've fasted. My father says, okay, meet me tonight by 12. Let's praise. Just praise. Baba Shekere, just praise. My father traveled to the UK and in the plane, he was playing his Shekere. When he was going, you know, we told him, Daddy, we don't know if immigration will allow you. He said, then they should return me home. I don't have to go to London. If they will not allow me to go with this shekere, I will go back home. So my sister had to tell me, don't worry, I already got one for you in the UK. So that you won't get to the airport, they will say, don't carry shekere, go back. My father just said, 12 o'clock, let's do praise. In my house, we used to hold praise vigils. You know that your secret weapon is just for you to stay in the place of worship for 3 hours. And you will get direction for that situation. Stay there. That's your secret weapon. Stay there. Isaiah 54 verse 17. Let's quickly look at something. David engaged the name of the Lord, and David did not keep quiet. His secret weapon was in the name of the Lord and in the word of the Lord. And he began to profess. Isaiah 54 says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Given. The Lord has said it. You don't need to do anything about it. Just believe. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. It is. Don't bother trying to do it. Don't try. Is done. Just believe it. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you will condemn. So when they begin to fire their arrows using their words, you have to pull out your secret weapon from wherever you have kept it. And you have to begin to profess your stance in the Lord and declare the lordship of the Lord upon that battle. Don't keep quiet, because that one, there's no guarantee. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, if you do not condemn, I cannot guarantee you. You have to speak out. Speak out. So if your secret weapon is praying, hey, katabala, katabala, shakata. I remember when my son, our son was really, really sick over a period of time. And I'm sure Pastor has shared the testimony over and over. And the doctor told us, let's do a surgery. But the surgery is 50-50. And I was like, so what is the essence of doing the surgery for 50-50? So I just told myself, I said, why don't you just pray? You know, for some people who even have the secret weapon of prayer, there is also a timing to that your secret weapon. Look for that time. There is a timing. You know that when I wake up between 2 and 3, I just need to spend 1 hour praying in the spirit and focusing on the Lord. Don't try to sing when you know it is prayers you should be praying. If your horn is to fast 7 days, stay indoors, shut down, and tell yourself, my mouth will not taste food, no oil, until I see the face of the Lord. So David went to the side of the water. Now let me tell you, most of the time, you find your secret weapon in the place of fellowship with the Lord. So when he went to the side of the waters, oh, you think when they gave him sword and he couldn't use sword, then he now told himself, stone will kill Goliath. Sword cannot kill Goliath. It's stone that will kill Goliath. David just looked for his normal temperature where he could find God. Because all the while in the wilderness, he had nobody around him. He had nothing else around him. He always had his quietness to him. He always was always alone. The only thing around him was the sound of cattle and the sound of sheep. So he needed to look in the midst of that battle. David needed to find a place of quietness. He needed to find a place where he could seek the face of the Lord. He needed to find a place of relationship and communion with the Father. And as he bent by the waters, he began to pick stones. He began to pick stones. He began to pick stones, and he picked five, representing the fivefold ministry, and he began to seek the face of the Lord. Which one shall I use? So when he got up with his shepherd's bag, it wasn't because he threw a stone. It was because he had found his secret weapon. And then he got to the field, and it was easy for him to combat with Goliath in words. Goliath said, I will feed you to the fish. He said, you cannot try it, because I come in the name of the Lord. You have defiled the armies of the Lord. I am come to redeem honor to the name of the Lord. He did not keep quiet. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Hey, katabala, katabo, sheketebeli, katabo, suntalia, reketebo, zeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketekete was without form, and it was void, and there was darkness, and there was confusion, and the Spirit of the Lord. So in the midst of that confusion, the Spirit of the Lord was somewhere. Look for him and find him. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the emptiness, in the midst of the rubbish and the hurt, in the midst of the shapelessness, in the midst of all of that confusion, the Spirit of the Lord was somewhere on the face of the waters. So if you need to get him at that point where you are faced with that confusion, you need to look for where you normally see him. He is there. Don't let the devil beat you out of your destiny by telling you that the Lord is not around you. Don't let the devil cheat you and tell you that the Lord is far away from you. Tell the devil, I just need to take a hold of my secret weapon. I just need to be able to reach out to that point where I always meet him. I just need to be able to shut my door and seek his face. I need just 2 hours. Just 2 hours. And I will come out with a strategy for this battle. Hey, katabala katabasha kataya. I still remember the testimony of my elder brother when he was denied employment in a well-organized bank. And my father said, let us have just 3 hours praise worship. And tomorrow morning we go to face the banker. Have you ever seen where a full graduate goes to HR with his father, and the father stands and says, I have come to collect my son's employment letter, because he found his secret weapon. He had used it overnight. Anything I come in contact with in the day must bow. Hold on to your weapon. Hey, your spouse is beginning to misbehave. Look for your weapon. Look for your weapon. Just tell the devil, you know what? Enjoy the ride for just 1 more hour. Or you think that David was not under pressure when he went to the waters to be picking stones? They were telling me, if you know you want to do this thing, come now. He's still shouting, let the devil continue to rant. Look for that time with the Lord. Don't dash out in a haste to go and face the battle. It's not a physical thing. It's not about you. It's about the strategy that the Lord places in your hands. Hallelujah. 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 Pastor David, can you just give me 5 more minutes? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You must walk in the full knowledge of your source. Number 6. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 58. Lekatabala kadabo sheketabeli kadabo suntalia. And so after the battle, Saul said unto him, whose son are you? Where are you from? Before the battle, they didn't sit him down to question him. You might as well go and die. When he came and said he wanted to go and kill himself, it's okay, let's see, we'll leave you to chance. But when he left and came back with the victory, they began to ask, where are you from? Who is your source? Now, let me tell you the meaning of that question. The meaning of that question simply is, by whose authority have you done what you have done? What's backing you up? And David answered, David did not say, my name is David. It is obvious that your name is David. We already know your name is David. If you face an interview and they say, tell us about yourself, and you stay there, my name is David. I was born in 1922. I have 4 brothers. I have a mother. I have a father. The interviewers will look at you and tell you, oh, you really don't have substance. But David said, I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Now go back to when God told Samuel, go to Bethlehem. I have found a man, Jesse. And I have found a son in his house. God described David the same way David described himself. So let me tell you, from the place of fellowship with God, David and God had agreed, this is my origin, this is my description, this is who I am, this is the authority that backs me up. So even after David and God had communed, and God needed to talk to Samuel, he said, go to Bethlehem, there's a man, Jesse, I have found a son. When Saul said, who are you? Where are you from? By whose authority have you done this? He said, I am the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite. The same, I'm in alignment with the way God sees me. You must understand your source. Now let me tell you, when the victory begins to come and the light begins to board, because at first you got into 2021 and you started chanting, my year of greater works, my year of greater works, and the adversaries are looking at you. That was the same way you started 2020. So there's no big deal. We can leave you to go and try. But when they begin to see the light, light coming from your victories, the light of the seed of greater works is beginning to bud, they begin to look at you and they will ask you that question, by whose authority are you doing this? When Jesus faced the gate, they asked him, Ogaje, who are you? He said, the King of Glory. When he was going to die, the resistance of the question of so by whose authority are you doing this did not come up. You must understand that you work in a particular mandate that the Lord had placed upon you when he had you, that the Lord placed upon you when he brought you to the kingdom of light. You must understand the mandate with which you are working. You must understand that as an ambassador in Nigeria from the US, you are not bound by the laws of Nigeria. You must understand that you have a backing. You must understand the authority with which you have done whatever you are doing. Because the question will definitely arise. You can't escape it. They will ask you. Oh, adversaries, they don't keep quiet. They don't keep quiet. You must know and you must be able to speak it. Hallelujah. 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 They will ask you, by whose authority do you do what you're doing? By whose authority have you come? Who are you? All of a sudden, there will be an interest in your identity. Who is this guy? You get into a new company and they're looking at you like a rookie. And then after 2 months, they are beginning to see your performance. They will call you into a meeting and ask you, how come you are going about this? Don't be deceived. Don't begin to tell them things that every other person knows. Begin to go back into your origin. Go back into the authority that is backing you up. And begin to profess from the depth of the knowledge of the authority that is backing you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't go further. I can't go further. Pastor David, can I spare 5 minutes? I plead with you in the name of the Father. Just to quickly look at the peoples you should watch for in your journey. Hey, Katabala, Karabo, Shakata. and the leaper, as you face your giants. Remember what we are talking about is giant killers. As you face your giants, watch out for the pushers. Watch out for the pushers. People who will push you away and tell you are not qualified. They will tell you you can't face this challenge. They will tell you you can't do it. You suddenly get an invitation from a multi-billion business to submit a proposal. They will tell you or say your business has not grown that much. Why don't you just calm down? Give it another 1 year. Hallelujah. Look out for people who will pull you down. People who will discourage you. People will tell you everything that exists on the physical, but nothing that aligns with your spiritual life. Nothing that aligns with the word of the Lord upon your life. Nothing that aligns with your prophecy. Hallelujah. Watch out for people who will bring you before kings. People who will open doors of opportunity unto you. People who will remember you that, oh, once upon a time, I had a dream. And there was someone who was able to interpret the dream and bring you before the king. Watch out. And you must be able to dimension the relationship you have with all of these people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch out for the Mordecais in your life. Hallelujah. People who will bring you and open your eyes to every opportunity ahead of you. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out for your audience with the king. In the long run, when the king now says, come, don't go shabbily. Don't go unprepared. Don't go like one who doesn't have an origin. Don't go as one who is not backed up. Joseph said, no matter how urgent it is, I need some minutes to shave. I need some minutes, because Joseph had stayed in the house of Potiphar. He had understood how ministers appeared before the king. So when the king called Joseph, he was being beyond a prophecy upon his life. He was beyond the gift upon his life. He also understood that for me to be able to even speak to this man, I must appear as one who is prepared to speak to him. And because of his knowledge of Potiphar, because he would always see how Potiphar would take his time to groom himself before appearing before Pharaoh, Joseph said, give me a minute. I need to take off this beard. I need to look presentable. The king must be, you don't have a second chance to present yourself before the king. Embrace the opportunity you have and make the best of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I assure you that even though the battle is for the shepherd, the victory lies for the king. I have told you, you don't have to keep quiet. Bible makes it clear, no weapon fashioned against you will prosper. But any tongue that rises in judgment against you, you must condemn. Do I have one or two people here who are willing to begin to speak out and speak to their giant and speak to your Goliath? Rise to your feet. Embro lokotobo lokotobo lokotoyo rekete bolekete bo